meditating on for a while. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. And it says this, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time." And I've been thinking about that verse for some time now, and you know, I kept thinking, how in the world is this time beautiful? You know, the virus, how in the world is it beautiful? And as you look at the scripture, one of the things it's talking about is God is in control. This virus has been allowed by God. It's not the world's taken over. No, it's been allowed, and God still is in control. And so this time that we're in now, whether we like it or not, is appropriate and beautiful. And so my attitude kind of has slipped with this virus stuff. I get tired of it. Julie's sister and her husband both have the virus. He's a minister of music in Texas, and they're doing okay right now. My mom has been exposed to it. Get this, we pay almost $7,000 a month for her to be in an assisted living. None of us can go kiss her or hug her or do anything, and yet she's been exposed to the virus. And so that's kind of frustrating to me. But here's the thing. We need to remember that God is in control, and we don't have to despair. So we're going to talk about anxiety tonight. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and we're going to get started. Father, I thank you so much for your gracious hand, and I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that even this terrible time that we're in, when people are suffering job loss and disease and all these other things, we are very thankful that you are still on the throne and you're still in control. Help us to do our best to bring good out of it. That is our whole goal and our whole prayer. And I ask that you would speak to us tonight through your scripture and help us to choose peace instead of worry. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about prayer instead of despair. And we're going to talk about how you get peace versus anxiety and worry. And we live in a world right now that's just full of anxiety and worry. And we've been talking about how in the world can we not live in this chaotic world like the chaotic world. And so tonight, we talked about, first of all, we talked about we have to celebrate God's goodness, His sovereignty, His forgiveness. But for the next couple weeks, last week and tonight, and I think even next week, we're going to talk about asking. One of the ways you deal with this chaotic world we live in is to learn how to pray properly. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is choosing to pray specifically instead of choosing anxiety and worry. So I want to begin, turn to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8, the New Living Translation. And this is kind of a cool story that Jesus is giving to make a point. In verse 1 of Luke chapter 18, it says, "One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up." So that's the point of this story, that we should pray and never give up. And then it says, "There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow in that city came to him repeatedly, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.'" Now, interesting, the judge is a sorry dude. He doesn't care about God and he doesn't care about people. The widow, on the other hand, is a, how can I put it? She has no worth in the world at that time. She's a woman. And she's a widow woman, so she doesn't have a family. And so this woman is coming to this ungodly, unjust judge. And she has a request against her enemy. And then look what it says. The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman, and I love this, this woman's driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Get the picture? Hey, Judge, what are you going to do about this problem? Hey, Judge, what are you going to do about this problem? She is wearing him out. And then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his circle, that chosen people? Won't he give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So the picture here is of this woman. And she is continually coming to God, or coming to the judge, with her request over and over and over again. She cries out day and night, Lord, help me. And one of the beautiful things that this is teaching me, and hopefully you, that as believers, we don't have an unjust judge. We have a God who is a loving judge. As a matter of fact, he invites us to come to him with our worries, with our anxieties, with our problems. And we can come to him over and over and over again. Now, you kind of segue from that to Philippians chapter 4 that we've been looking at, Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, which once again is this invitation. You see, the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God who loves us, he says, hey, I invite you to choose me over worry and anxiety. Listen to verses 6 and 7. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You can circle that word everything, because the invitation that God gives you and me is to pray about everything. Not just some things, everything. And then he says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, after you've talked to him, after you've given him your concerns, your worries, your wants, it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So the invitation that God gives to each one of us is to come to him with our worries, with our anxieties, and even with our just needs, our everyday common needs. And he invites us to come and give them to him. Now, the truth is, a lot of times we don't tell him our needs. We're not like that widow lady. As a matter of fact, somebody asked me the question not too long ago, should we pray specifically to God? And my answer to that is absolutely. I've heard some people say, well, God knows everything. He already knows what you're going to pray about. He still says, be specific. Spell it out. Let him know. And so God is inviting us to take action. When you're anxious, if you struggle with worry and anxiety, you have to take the action. God has already provided the avenue to help you. It's prayer. And not only is it prayer, it's prayer that is specific. And one of the needs that I think people in our world today need is they need to spell it out to God what is worrying them, the anxieties. Because if you don't, you won't have peace. Now, I know Philippians 4, 6, and 7 works for me. Many times I'll come, I'll give him my worries, my concerns. I'll spell it out to him and he'll give me peace. And the next morning I get up and guess what I do? Pick up the problem. Anybody else do that? I'm real good for one day. 2 days, 3 days. Well, the invitation there is to come to over and over again. And the bigger the problem, the more you need to come. James McDonald said, unequal problems call for unequal praying. The more problems you got, the more praying you do. But you need to come to him, because the invitation is to come to him and tell him what's going on. Now, another story that he gave us that illustrates this point, and I love this story as well, is in Luke chapter 18, same chapter, verses 35 through 43. It's the story of the blind beggar. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. Then they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, I love this story, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Now just get the picture, this blind man shouting. Everybody going, shut up, because he's blind. He has no power in their society. And yet he kept on shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But he only shouted louder. When Jesus heard him, I love this, he stopped and ordered that man to be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, and here's the part I'd underline, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus knew this guy was blind, right? I mean, everybody knew who a blind beggar was. It's very obvious. And yet, Jesus came to him and said, what do you want me to do for you? He wanted him to spell it out. He knew he was blind. He wanted him, in faith, to say, I want my sight. I love that picture. What do you want? And the man replied, looked at his answer, I want to see. Don't blame him for saying that. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. But the picture there is that he spelled it out. Yes, God knows everything. He knows every need you have, every problem you have, but he still wants you to spell it out. He gives you that invitation. I know in James chapter 4, verse 2, it says this. He says, yet you do not have because you don't ask God for it. And when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Isn't that interesting? Our prayer requests usually are pretty selfish. Right? Only what will give us pleasure. And yet the scripture says, you don't have because you don't ask. He wants us to spell it out. Another interesting story. Jesus' mother, John chapter 2, they're at a wedding party. And they ran out of wine. And it's kind of interesting. She didn't ask Jesus to help us or to help them. She basically said, they have no more wine. And Jesus' reply, if you look in chapter 2, his reply was, well, that's not my problem. You go back and look at it. And Jesus' mother basically said to the disciples, or to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Evidently, he said, make wine, because he made wine. But the picture is that she spelled it out. And didn't just say, help us. She said, this party, this is bad for the reputation of their family. She spelled it out. The thing I'm wanting us to see is that we are invited to pray specifically for our needs and our desires and what we should do. Not this generic, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. That's not good enough. God wants us to be specific. Now, let me tell you why specific prayer is important. Okay? This is the whole point. Number one, it's taught in the scriptures. General prayers are not taught in the scriptures. General prayers are, Lord, you know my needs, you know my sins, forgive me, meet my needs, give us a safe trip, that kind of thing. But specific prayers are specific, and that's the way scripture teaches praying. Lord, forgive me for doing blank. Lord, I am worried about blank, give me peace. I mean, specific prayers are taught all through the scripture. About specific prayer. Specific prayer is serious prayer. Now, if I was to tell you, I'm going to come by your house sometime, would you take that seriously? You'd be thinking, well, sometime. But what if I was to tell you, I'm going to come by your house Thursday night at 5:30? Which one of those would you take as being a more serious statement, the specific one? I mean, how many times have we said to someone, why don't you come see us sometime? Oh, okay, we'll be by sometime. And it turns out to never happen. Specific prayer nails it down. And it shows the seriousness that you have about your prayer life. I mean, you ought to spell it out. If you have financial needs, you spell it out to the penny. You give it to Him instead of worrying about it. Specific prayer shows that you're serious. Third thing, specific prayer is an opportunity to see God work. I have learned through the years that people have said, well, God just doesn't answer my prayers. And yet I have discovered it in many of the cases, they've never spelled out their prayer request. It's always, Lord, you know my needs, or Lord, get me out of trouble, or whatever. And one of the things that I've learned in my Christian life is that when I am specific about my request, when God answers it, I know it. I didn't bring it down here. I meant to. I have a prayer journal. I pray about everything. I pray for people by name. I pray for situations specifically. And I do that because I have journals since I was in college where I can go back and show you how God took me out of a valley or how God did a miraculous thing. It's all recorded in journals. I spell it out. God knows my heart. But when I spell it out to the best of my ability, a part of God's will, and He answers it, I mark it out. I go back and look at years of answered prayer. But if you don't get specific with your prayer request, you're not going to get specific answers. You're going to forget half the time you prayed about some of this stuff. And so specific prayer is such an incredible opportunity to see God work in your life. And He will answer your prayers three ways. Yes, no, and wait. And when you're looking for the answer, it's an incredible thing that can give you peace instead of anxiety. But we need to have a place. I have a prayer journal. I put down what I'm praying about. When God answers it, I mark it out. You're missing out on the miracles of God, the big ones and the little ones, when you don't write them out. We a lot of times write out the big ones. But what about the little ones? God wants you to spell it out. And then here's the fourth reason for specific prayer. Specific prayer creates a lighter load. If you don't get specific with your anxieties and your worries, your load through the day is heavier. I just promise you it is. What I love is 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Now, here's what I like about cast. Casting, think about it, is an intentional act. If you cast something, if I was to wad up a piece of paper and throw it to you. It's an intentional act. It's also an intentional act to get rid of something. You know, we went fishing last week with Julie's dad, and we did a lot of casting. We'd put that little whatever Sam told us to put on it, and we would cast it away. It'd go out in the water. Only problem is it kept coming back with nothing on it. You know, the whole goal was to catch something, and we kept getting it back. Well, God didn't work that way. Casting is, think about this, casting should be your first response to worries and problems. I started to do this. I started to bring up here, and I have done this because everything is mental as far as understanding. But if I was to put a trash can over there and put the word God on it, and then I was to have you to write down the biggest worries that you've got going on right now in your life and wad them up in a piece of paper, and then I was to invite you to come over here and cast them into to God, that is what prayer is. It's giving whatever is causing you anxiety, and it's giving it to Jesus because he cares for you. And I honestly believe that he wants us to sit down, write out, and chunk them to God. That's what prayer is. It's casting to them, casting to him our anxieties. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you. There it is again. Call to me. And then he says, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Be specific, cast it to him, call to him, and expect him to answer. Now, if you practice that on a daily basis, like when I get up in the morning, one of the things I do is I go through my time with God, my prayer time. I praise him, I confess my sins, I thank him, but then I get to the S part, and that's where I give him situations, that's where I give him problems, that's where I give him all the needs and worries and concerns. I cast them every morning. By the next morning, I have a lot of time to find new things to cast to him. So you have a choice in your life. You either hang on to your worries, you either fret, or you cast. It's as simple of that as that. Now, we need to understand that if you don't do that, if you live in anxiety and worry, you're going to live a defeated Christian life. When you're stressed, and this is my concern for the world we're in right now. There are so many things going on right now, you could literally worry yourself to death. You just literally could. I can start naming things. And what we forget is those worries need to go to God. You can't carry them around. I tell the story about my son's mother-in-law. For a while, she was worried about the virus and finally decided she needed to go see her daughter and grandson and son-in-law. And she did. Only to die a couple weeks later of a brain abscess. I think to myself, I'm very grateful she went and saw her grandson and her daughter closer. Because if she isolated herself, who knows? Cast. Ephesians 5:18 in the Message paraphrase says it this way. Prayer is essential. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray. So you have a choice. You can either worry or you can cast. My recommendation is that, because I want peace, is that I give him all